The reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at verse 10. The rain and the snow come down from the sky. They do not return to it without watering the earth. They make plants come up and grow. The plants produce seeds for farmers. They also produce food for people to eat. The words I speak are like that. They will not return to me without producing results. They will accomplish what I want them to, and they will do exactly what I sent them to do. My people, you will go out of Babylon with joy. You will be led out of it in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song as you go, and all the trees in the fields will clap their hands. Juniper trees will grow where there used to be bushes that had thorns on them, and myrtle trees will grow where there used to be thorns. That will bring me great fame. It will be a lasting reminder of what I can do. It will stand forever. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. Te rongopai tāpu ki te retinga a mātio te tekauma toru upoko ka timata tahi. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoemiti te kororia ki te atua. That same day, Jesus left the house and sat by the Sea of Galilee. Large crowds gathered around him, so he got into a boat and sat down. All the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things using stories. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seed. He scattered the seed on the ground. Some fell on a path. Birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places where there wasn't much soil. The plants came up quickly because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it burned the plants. They dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and crowded out the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times more than what was planted. Whoever has ears should listen. Listen, here is the meaning of the story of the farmer. People hear the message about the kingdom but do not understand it. Then the evil one comes. He steals what was planted in their hearts. Those people are like the seed planted on a path. The seed that fell in rocky places is like other people. They hear the message and at once receive it with joy. But they have no roots, so they only last a short time. They quickly fall away from the faith when trouble or suffering comes because of the message. The seed that fell among the thorns is like others who hear the message, but then the worries of this life and the false promises of wealth crowd it out. They keep the message from producing fruit, but the seed that fell on good soil is like those who hear the message and understand it. They produce a crop 100, 60, or 30 times more than the farmer planted. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoemiti tia ia te kupumana.
Thanks, Kendall. Right. Kia ora, everybody. How are ya? All right. So I just found a screw behind the at the back of my chair, my seat. So I don't know if anyone's got a screw loose, but yeah. What's the vicar doing poking around at the back of his chair anyway? What's he hope to find? What was he doing? I don't know. How are you all doing? Has anyone had a bit of a break? I think Wes just asked that a minute ago, but I didn't see. Give us a wave, yeah. Go anywhere nice? Did you go anywhere nice? Canada, flip. Oh, you did, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. Was it good? Yeah. Have to catch up afterwards. And I'm also thinking about popping into Larch this week, if that's all right. Yeah, yeah. We'll just have a private conversation here in front of you all, but yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. Anyway, yes, I remember when I was a kid, I always remember my granddad being a great veggie grower. And I know that some of us here are veggie growers and keen on that. But I remember going, and particularly, I remember picking peas, pods of peas. And I remember them growing this high, these pods of peas, and, Obviously, I was about this high, so they were probably only about that high. Because my granddad as well, I remember being a giant who stooped down to kind of, you know, perspective's different when you're only little. But yeah, when I was about five, I remember picking these peas and then podding them with my grandma as well and, you know, all that kind of thing. None of those genes or abilities have been passed on to me, I'm afraid. I am completely rubbish. But my next door neighbour, as many of you know, is a famous veggie grower, very keen, son of a veggie grower. I think that's right, isn't it, Steve? And Steve regularly provides little, you know, beans and things like that that are a surplus, and is a great veggie grower. Now, when we had our great swimming pool disaster, where our swimming pool died in front of our very eyes and became a kind of swamp, and some sort of science experiment. And a number of people from the church came and helped us fill that, which was awesome. Once it had all got filled, we put grass over the top. And Steve came along and sowed the seed. Uh-huh, that's the link. So Steve like comes along, he sows the seed, because I don't know what I'm doing, and you know he's a famous veggie grower. And when he did that, he was very careful about it. So there was all the soil, and he raked it. He took out stones, I think, didn't you, Steve? Took out these because there was some big stony ground, you know, what our soil's like around here. Some of it was imported up from the river bits, and that's all stony, I think. So, yeah, picked out the stones. He raked it, put some nice soil on top and things, watered it and everything, and then he sprinkled the seed on. And when he'd scattered the seed, then he, you know, watered it and stuff, and we had a watery thing. But then you just leave it, and it grows, as Jesus says in the other parable. You know, it grows by itself. The farmer doesn't know how. And then in its time, it produces a harvest. And in this parable that we had today, we hear about this farmer, this sower who sows the seed, but he does it in this bizarre way. He sows it everywhere. He's not like Steve. So can you imagine Steve coming along and just scattering the seed all over the place? You know, some of it falls on the good soil that he's prepared. Some of it goes spreading across into the field next door. Some of it heads over, you know, just onto the patio and just lies there for birds to peck it up. Some of it, you know, who sows seed like that? The sower in the parable that we read about that Jesus tells us is liberal to a crazy extent. He is not the sower of economy and, you know, metrics and economics and how much plant, you know, how much field have I got and how do I make sure that I preserve the right amount of seed that I've got and, you know, I've to produce this much crop and then I can make a profit. And this is not that kind of sower. What is Jesus doing? His listeners, I'm sure, must have been just thinking, what was he doing sowing on rocky ground as well as ground full of weeds? You know, what the heck? He hasn't cleared it. And he's sowing on some good ground as well, but he is just so liberal. That's not good economics. Not good care of resources. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we shouldn't be careful of our resources. You know, we do have a responsibility. But when it comes to God's generosity, it breaks all human rules. God's generosity is incredible. I mean, like Jesus says again in another place, he says, you know, God causes his sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous, and his rain comes upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He doesn't hold back, but he's not a miserly God. God's not sort of saying, well, I've got limited resources, and so I'm going to only give it to the righteous. But I wonder, this is the God that Jesus tells us about. But I wonder, when we hear those words, so the sower, God sows that word on your hearts and my heart, and he says, this is what I'm like. I'm sowing my word and I'm liberal and I'm giving it to everyone and to all of you. How do we respond? How do we take that word in? What are our hearts like when they receive this word? Do we feel a bit miserly? Do I feel a bit like, actually, God only gives if I'm good enough, or God only gives if I'm righteous, or, you know, God's choosy and picky? What's my heart like when I receive this word from God? And I think all these things that come out of this parable, don't they? God is generous. I mean, 2/3 of that seed is wasted, you could say. God would not say it's wasted. Jesus would not say it's wasted. That's why Jesus gives us this parable. He says, I don't waste. You know, I am so liberal, I am so loving, I am so kind, so giving, so generous. I give to all and to everyone. It's hard to hear that sometimes, isn't it? I find it hard to hear. I find it hard to believe, actually, if I'm honest, in my heart of hearts. Of course, I can say the right things, you know, because I'm taught from Sunday school onwards, you know, yes, God is generous. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is loving. Yes, God is kind. You know, and so I will say those things. But do I really believe those things in my heart? Do I trust God that he's that good, that generous, that kind, that liberal, that gracious? I heard someone say the other day, there is no one more loving kind than God. There is no kindness greater than God's kindness. There's no one that can beat God's kindness. And I heard those words as if for the first time, even though it was for the umpteenth time. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if that's true, kind of thing? Well, you know, something of the truth of that sunk in. A seed landed in my heart, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's no one more kind than God. Isn't that incredible? So, I don't know. I just think this sower parable is a crazy parable, and Jesus does it deliberately. He's saying, you know, I sowed all over the patio and all over there, and, you know, and on the good soil and on the rocky soil, because I'm generous, I'm liberal. You're not going to find anyone more kind, more loving kind than me. I give to all. And so when we receive this word, or when we, I don't know, what does that say when we spread the word of God? I think it says that we don't know what people's hearts are like. We judge them like Jesus says. We do, don't we? We like to pull, to try and wipe that little speck out of other people's eyes when I've got a massive plank in my own eye. Bam! Oh, sorry, Val. Just let me, bam, just get that little speck. I can see a speck there, you know. And I'm just whacking him over the head with the big plank in my eye while I, you know, in my great generosity, remove that little speck from his. I don't look at my heart enough. And yet I judge everyone else's very, very cheaply and easily. And I think, oh, that's a rocky soil. That person's just going to be choked up by the riches of the world and, you know, all the worries of life. And this person's got no roots, you know. Here's someone with good. So I'm going to spend my time and my resources, which are limited. God's aren't, but mine are, you know, on this. No. I don't think we can afford to be like that. I think God's saying, you can't. Don't judge others. You don't know what's in their hearts. You don't know who's going to respond to a bit of love, to a bit of kindness, to a bit of goodness, to a bit of generosity, to a bit of grace, to a good word in season, to the word of God. So it's a good challenge, this parable, isn't it? There's a lot in it. Can we be those who are generous and who give to all, who take everyone as our responsibility and say, I give to you, I give to you. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to say you're not worthy of it. You're not worthy of it. Maybe you are. So we sow liberally, like God sows liberally. I think, like we've said a few times for a few weeks, the only responsibility in terms of, you know, kind of what are we going to do about it, is our own heart. We can't change someone else's heart. God can do that. We're responsible for sowing to everyone. But the state of our heart is kind of our responsibility, isn't it? I think. How much do you reckon we can do about our hearts? What's your heart like? What's my heart like if I look at it? By heart, I don't mean emotions, obviously. I mean the sort of center of who we are, the biblical idea of the heart. You know, when you talk about getting to the heart of the matter, if you got to the heart of the matter of you or me, what's the heart, you know, what's the core of my being? Who am I? Right in that person, the inner person, you know, who I am, in my heart of hearts, in my most inmost being. Can I change that? What can I do about that? What do you think? Tricky, isn't it? But I think all we can do is ask for God's help, isn't it? God's help to do that work that Steve did of taking out some rocks, you know, hoeing the ground a bit, getting rid of some weeds, preparing the soil. And the only way to do that is to have that soilness, that humility. You know, the word humus, the earth, is the word that we get humility from. And when Jesus says, that's what my heart's like, Jesus says, you know, I am gentle and humble of heart, right? That's what God's heart is like. So we can ask him, you're humble of heart. I can't go around like a proud, stuck-up thing. Forgive me. You know, help me to be a bit more, give me some of your humility, your humus, your earthiness, your groundliness. The word in Greek just means low-lying, the word for humble. When Jesus says, I'm gentle and humble in heart, low-lying. And it's exactly the same as the word in English, humble, humus, earth, low-lying. Earth is low-lying. And there's a slide there that I'll put up. Got to have an icon because, you know, I love them. So here it is. And this is coming up. St. Paisi from the dining hall of the monastery that I used to visit had all these beautiful men and women all around the walls painted, holding things that they'd said. And this one from St. Paisi, who's a Russian monk, he said, humility, this is one of the many things he said, humility never falls, for it lies beneath everything. It's that low-lying, that groundliness. Humility's not about being all kind of, you know, I don't know, false. You know that false humility. Oh, woe is me, I'm rubbish. And it's not about saying I'm rubbish. It's all it is about saying, I need you, God. I can't do this on my own. If the more we think we can do it on our own, that's pride, the less humble we are. But the more we go, actually, Lord, I need you more than I realize. I really, really need. I need you to save me completely, to forgive me completely. And humility, as we've said before, is making room in the room for others. Making room in the room for others. So it's saying, you guys are important. You know, we're saying to others, you guys are important. And we're not thinking about ourselves. Humility isn't going, I'm not important. I'm not important. You know, humility is saying, I'm not even thinking about myself. You know, you guys are important. That's what it's saying. Does that make sense? So it's less about me and more about you. That's what humility is. And the more about me it is, I'm not important, I'm this, I'm that, I'm rubbish. I've lost, it's not humility, that's actually a sort of inverse pride or some weird psychology, I don't know, you know, whatever. But yeah, that humility is just saying, I'm low light. You know, it's just saying, you guys are important. You guys are the ground that I'm sowing seed on. You guys this, you know, and I'm on that ground. I'm firmly on it. I'm not exalted above it or anything. You know, I'm putting you guys first and I'm sowing into you. That's what we're doing. Is that all right? So that's humility. So there's earthiness, groundliness in this parable. There's generosity, this incredible grace and kindness that does not respect humanity's economics. And then there's this putting others first, asking for God's help. And then finally, I think there's this idea that when we're sowing seed, the seed's called the Word of God, right? I think in Mark, it's just called the Word. In Luke, it's the Word of God. In Matthew, which we just heard today, it's the Word of the Kingdom, which is all means the same thing. But when we're sowing that word, those good words, the Word of God, the Word of the Kingdom, into everyone's lives around us because we're being liberal and generous and kind like God is, when we're doing that, there's ways that people can hear and there's ways that people can't. And it's all it is that humility thing again. It's saying, kneel. That's kneel over there. I don't mean you should kneel before me or anything. I'm not saying kneel. It's saying, where are you at? It's paying attention to Neil and hearing where Neil's at and what's going on in Neil's life and thinking about where he's coming from and where he's going and where he's at right now and the things, the concerns that he's got, and having a word that is a word in season or a right word or a humble word, a good word, a word that's just going to free him, set him free maybe, unlock him, and saying that word. Because if I come in with a different word, a word where I'm thinking, oh, you're this, you're that, and I've judged you or beforehand, and then I say, whether you know, just you need to hear this because I know what's best for you, you know, because I know how to fix your problem. If I do that, it's not going to go into his heart. He's just going to go, oh, okay, whatever. You know, but if I hear him, if I listen, if I pay attention to Neil, who Neil is, and say the word that he needs to hear from God maybe, what that word is that Neil needs to hear, then I'm just, all I'm doing is being humble, you know, in the proper sense, putting others first, putting others, thinking about others, not thinking about myself. And I'm thinking about, how can I connect that person to God? How can I connect that? How can I get out of the way and just, you know, hear a word from God and let that word be planted in Neil's heart? That's sowing the seed. That's the liberal, generous sowing of the seed. I heard a story the other day from forgive me, you know I love them, the desert fathers and mothers, the monks and, you know, the men and women in the desert. Way back, who were fed up with the state of the church, and they said, this whole thing's getting a bit corrupt for me. And they went off into the desert and they prayed and they said, let's try and remember what the church is about. Let's try and remember what Christianity's about. Let's try and remember what Jesus is about. And so they did all these things. But one of the things that happened was this monk came, there was the great old man or whatever, you know, and he, but who obviously did not think he was a great old man at all, thought the opposite. But, and these guys came to him, and these people came to him, and they said, "What should we do, Father? When someone falls asleep in church? And you know, should we wake him up? You know, it's like flipping it. Come on, put your life together. Wake up! You're disgracing yourself and the church. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, naughty, naughty." So, and this chap said, well, as for me, when I see a brother fall asleep in church, I kind of like smooth out my cloak and I put his head on my knees and I let him rest. And that's the right word in the right season. You know, it's not that they belittled sin or, you know, they just the opposite. It's just that if a smack around the face for that guy or whatever it was in those days that people did, or pouring water on them or something. I don't know what they did. They didn't do that. But you know what I mean? A rebuke was not what that person needed at that time. But the right thing they needed was, actually, I know where you're at right now. You're falling asleep because you're so tired, you're so whatever it is that's going on in your life. You just need to be shown kindness, love. And that is the word of God that will get through to that person at that moment. They'll learn about God's kindness. And later on, they might learn about whatever it is that's leading to them falling asleep in church and blah, 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 and they'll get that sorted out. But at that moment, that's the thing they can hear and experience and receive from God, is kindness. Does that make sense? I just like that little story because it's just quite sweet. You know, it's quite funny as well. It's quite normal and practical. Anyone fallen asleep in church? I remember there was a guy that came and spoke to us at college, and he was actually a bishop, but from the Orthodox Church, and he, Callistos Ware is his name, but he used to do lectures, and he talked a little bit like Dumbledore, if you know Dumbledore, and he talked like that, and he said, and one day I was giving a lecture, and I became aware of a voice that was droning on. And this voice went on, and I thought to myself, who is that? And then I realized it was me. And I'd fallen asleep in my own lecture. Anyway, I think we'll finish with that. But should we perhaps just pray together? Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for your generosity and your love. Forgive us, Lord, for where we are hard-hearted, for where we let the worries of the world choke out your good word, for where we don't put down roots. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us as we just ask humbly, as we come standing on that earth, on that humus, on that humility, on that earthy ground, that low-lying ground. Lord, we ask that you would help us. Help us to know more of your generosity, your incredible, groundbreaking, universe-expanding love and generosity and kindness. And help us to sow words in good season, Lord, into those around us, and to be liberal and generous as you are, and to see where people are at, to pay attention to them with that humility that cares about others, that puts them first. And to know and hear a word from you to give to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.